Hello, you're listening to me, Liz Earle, bringing you another riveting episode of Wellness with Liz Earle. And this time we're talking hormones, menopausal hormones, or the lack of them more specifically, and what we could or should be doing about them. And I am delighted to be joined by Dr. Louise Newson, literally one of the UK's leading menopause specialists, to guide us through that menopausal minefield of hormones, hot flushes, HRT, and more. So Louise, welcome to my Wellbeing Studios.
Thank you.
It is really so highly anticipated, this podcast, because I can't tell you the number of women, I suppose because I'm in my mid-50s and a lot of my girlfriends are sort of 40s, but even younger women, that there's just so many people who are interested in what's going on, what will happen, the changes, and so much of this that's going on in our lives and how we feel, particularly perhaps with our energy levels and our mood and our emotions, can be linked to the menopause, which is extraordinary.
Totally.
So what do you find? Because you're a GP and a menopause specialist.
Yes, so I'm a GP, but I also run a menopause clinic. And I'm in my late 40s. I have lots of friends similar age. One thing is that it's such a taboo. It happens to all of us. We can't run away from the menopause. It is going to happen, whatever we do. But so many people don't know enough about it, which is a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then we don't learn about it at school. We don't always talk to our parents about it.
No, you might have sex education and all of that, but nobody says what happens at the other end.
My teenage children are just told the menopause is when your periods stop, which is true. As you know, it's a year after your periods stop, but they're not told about any symptoms. And they happen at a time often when maybe our elderly relatives are giving a strife, our teenager children are giving a strife, we're busy at work, with that sort of sandwich generation, want to get on, and then something's happening to our body, but we don't often think it's the menopause. Yeah. We blame other things. So
I think one of the things that I touched on in my last series, actually, when I first touched on the menopause, and already we had an amazing response to that, you know, we could really see that so many people were downloading just that even beginning introduction, is this thing called the perimenopause, which is when our hormone levels are declining before the menopause. As you say, the menopause classically is that 12 months after a last period.
Yes.
But that's not the story, is it? The story is all the years leading up to
that.
So what's happening during those early years?
So if you break down the words, menopause, meno is the menstrual cycle, so our periods. Pause is stop, obviously. And then peri just means around the time of. So it's before our periods stop completely, we have changing hormone levels. And it's the estrogen that is very important to our bodies. And those levels change, but they don't just gradually decline and stop. They fluctuate. So a lot of people find they have symptoms for a few months and then they feel fine. And then it happens again.
Right.
So you have this peak and trough. As our ovaries run out of eggs, with that, our estrogen levels fall. So that's why people have these symptoms, and they can last for quite a few years.
And they'll start sort of mid-40s typically?
Classically, they start mid-40s. The average age of the menopause is 51, but around 1 in 100 women have their menopause under the age of 40. So it can happen at any age.
Gosh. Well, I was in the hairdressers a few weeks ago, and I've seen the same lovely lady for years, decades probably. And I said, oh, how are things going? And she said, I'm so tired. My husband's driving me crazy. Mm. Kids are really getting on my nerves. I'm not sleeping particularly well. And I looked at her and I said, how old are you? And she said, well, I'm 46. And she said, would you think you're perimenopausal then? And she looked at me completely blankly and went on to describe, you know, all sorts of symptoms from anxiety to sleeplessness to, you know, middle-age spread and weight gain and all of those things.
Mm.
And by the end of the conversation, I was saying to her, you know, you have to look into this. You have to go and talk to your GP.
Yeah.
Think about HRT,
which
she, but you know, she was saying, but I still have periods.
Yes.
I said, well, that's not the story though, is it?
No, that's totally right. And a lot of people think that they have to have stopped their periods to even have a chat about HRT or think about what to do. But it's very important, because when our levels are changing and you're getting symptoms, that's when it's a time to really look at what you're doing, not just with HRT, but your whole lifestyle, your diet, exercise, as well as hormones as well. Because we also know there are lots of benefits, which we'll talk about, of HRT, but we know that the earlier HRT is taken, the better for future disease prevention, which is really important.
Now, you talk about early menopause. I've read figures that it seems that younger women are becoming increasingly prone, if that's the right word, to having menopause earlier. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah, so it's around 1 in 100 women under the age of 40, 1 in 1,000 under the age of 30. So that's a lot of women.
That's young, isn't it?
Some of these will be women who have had a hysterectomy and their ovaries removed, a oophorectomy, and they have a surgical menopause, which is often very harsh because it's a very unnatural menopause. Often we don't know why it happens. Our ovaries just, we are only born with a finite number of eggs, and once they run out, that's it, unfortunately. But often also there's a lot of childhood cancers. So when people have chemotherapy, certain types of radiotherapy, it can affect the function of the ovaries. And thankfully, survival's so much better from pediatric cancers. But then these women often have an early menopause as a result of their treatment when they're younger.
Right. And would they automatically be prescribed HRT then?
These women under the age of 40, well, under the age of 45, have to have hormones, either HRT or the pill, because without the estrogen in their bodies, there's a massive increased risk of heart attacks, strokes, also osteoporosis, also dementia. So it's a big health problem if these people aren't having hormones to replace the hormones their body should otherwise be producing.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like if you have an underactive thyroid gland, you have thyroxine. If your ovaries aren't working, you need to have hormones to replace.
What are the different hormones? Because you mentioned the contraceptive pill. You know, so many young women will be taking, and older women too, will be taking the contraceptive pill, which is a hormone therapy, isn't it? Because you're taking hormones. What are the hormones in the pill?
So it's interesting. So the hormones in the pill are similar. They're estrogen and progesterone. But actually, the hormones in HRT are more natural. So they're not synthetic. So therefore, they're
a lot safer. Fascinating. So for young women who are quite happy to swallow a synthetic contraceptive pill for decades...
Yeah.
Well, then later on in life, I couldn't take HRT. So why can't we just carry on taking the contraceptive pill?
Because it's got more risks, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, so you wouldn't want to.
So there is a risk with the synthetic pills, because they're oral as well. You take them as a tablet. There's a small increased risk of a clot.
Yes.
And most of the estrogen that I prescribe, as you know, is through the skin. So it's as a gel or a patch. There's no increased risk of clot.
If you're taking the contraceptive pill, does that mask HRT hormonal symptoms?
It can do. It can mask menopausal symptoms. Right. So I see quite a few people who stop the pill because they're told they're at an age where they need to come off it, and then they have these florid symptoms.
And they might think that's just because they've come off the pill, but actually their own hormones are sort of settling down. Okay, so we've established really who should be considering it and the types of symptoms. So what are the symptoms that people are presenting themselves to you in your surgery?
Well, most people actually don't present with menopausal symptoms to my general practice surgery, which sounds bizarre, doesn't it? So the most common symptoms are hot flushes and night sweats, so the vasomotor symptoms. And these can really affect people. I have people who literally, covered in pools of sweat when they're during the night time. I have one lady wears sanitary towels under her armpits just to get through the day. She sweats so much. People that can't wear makeup, But actually, those people... they're not the worst symptoms. It's the psychological symptoms, so low mood, depressive symptoms, anxiety is very, very common. Loss of self-esteem, loss of self-worth, poor concentration, tiredness.
We just think of that we're getting
and
old.
Totally.
My mind's going. I put my keys down. I have no idea where I put them.
Totally. And then people often come to me because they think they're depressed, or it can affect, can cause palpitations. So people come thinking they've got a heart problem. Urinary symptoms. We have estrogen receptors all over our body, so it affects us in so many ways. So it can affect our bladders, our urinary tracts. So people come with urinary tract infections or symptoms that they can't hold on to their urine as much.
And that it could be because of low levels of estrogen declining.
The other thing is migraines can come a lot more common, so they can become more frequent, more severe. So in general practice, as you can see, all these people come with all these symptoms. I'm very tuned into the menopause.
Yes.
So as soon as I think about the menopause and ask, people will then tell me about their hot flushes and night sweats, but they won't come with them because they'll say, well, it's just the menopause, we have to get through it.
Right.
So they won't go and see a GP to discuss about something that's not a medical condition.
Well, I feel so fortunate myself, because I was rewriting my little ebook, which was my first little publication of this journey, a couple of years ago. And for me, then I think I was probably about 52 maybe, and hadn't considered that I could be, you know, going into the menopause or having the menopause. But I wasn't sleeping particularly well, and I wasn't getting the classic hot flush. So I didn't, you know, I think if I'd had that, I would have been much more aware of it. I was just finding, I was waking up at 4 a.m. and
so
a little
common.
Bit warm, but not really. And then I couldn't get back to sleep. And as somebody who's a bit super busy sometimes, you know, I can do a lot of things. I think a lot of women feel that we're very capable, but if you don't sleep,
it's huge. And that's the biggest thing when people come back to my clinic. I just love my clinic because people come back so happy. But one of the biggest things is they say thank you because my sleep's better. And I've noticed personally taking HRT that I was doing the same 4 o'clock in the morning and thinking, well, I'm not anxious, I'm not depressed, but I'm waking up early and my husband's happily sleeping next to me, and thinking, what a waste of time. And now I feel almost guilty because I love going to bed because I sleep really well.
You know, you're going to get a good night's sleep. And also just the improved mood as well. I think, you know, for me, having young children and older children as well, and then older parents and career and work, you know, there is that feeling sometimes that life is closing in on you and we can't cope and we're just stressed and it's just overload. We think of these factors going on around us. And, you know, are we just surrounded by idiots or, you know, is there something else going on?
And I think it's very hard to admit, isn't it? When you're very in control, you're used to multitasking and then suddenly you're always forgetting your children's PE kit or you can't remember what you've gone into a room for. And then at work, your people are commenting because you're making mistakes. And then you're thinking, oh my gosh, what's going on? And until you realise it's the menopause, you know, I have people that worry that they've got dementia, you know, and I can understand that. I can totally understand when your concentration goes, your short-term memory goes. You know, and you don't have the classic symptoms. It's very hard sometimes because, you know, we're not always good at looking after ourselves. We're good at looking after other people. And there there has been a lack of information as well, I think. So then people don't know where to go to get the right information.
Yes, and if, should they even be asking for it? Is, as you say before, is this just something to be endured and to be got through?
Totally. And so, I see a lot of women in my general practice, but also in my menopause clinic, who have been inappropriately given antidepressants. So they're labelled, about 70% of my new patients are inappropriately either given or offered antidepressants.
That is terrifying.
It is. So although we don't want to medicalise the menopause, it already is being medicalised in the wrong way.
Yes.
Because these women are so desperate for anything. And sometimes the antidepressants will help, but not often. They'll say, I know I'm not depressed, but I just feel low in my mood. It's very different to proper depression. So I worry because I wouldn't want to take antidepressants unnecessarily.
And all of the addictive qualities. And of course, then even if you're not taking antidepressants, if you're feeling low in mood, you're more likely to perhaps hit the bottle of Chardonnay in the fridge at night and kind of self-medicate to get through.
I think this is very important. And this sort of leads me to think a lot of my patients are feeling awful, and a lot of women as well. So they've put on weight because they can't fit eat.
Yes.
They're feeling so tired because of their lack of energy because of their low hormone levels. So then they're not exercising. Joint pains are very common with low estrogen levels.
Really?
So they often, you know, physically and mentally don't want to exercise. Like you say, they drink a bit more, try and help them sleep. So actually they're putting their health more at risk. Mm. Their cardiovascular disease risk, if you like, the risk of a heart attack goes up by doing all these things. Even their risk of breast cancer is going up. We know the risk of breast cancer goes up if you're overweight, if you don't exercise, if you drink alcohol.
Gosh.
So people don't think about actually not doing anything about their menopause can be negative for them, but also for their future health too.
Now, we have good news here as well, don't we? So that's if you're sitting here listening or, you know, on the way to work thinking, oh my goodness, this is so me, what should we be doing? We've obviously touched on HRT, and for many people it's the elephant in the room, isn't it?
Totally.
Should we be taking HRT? Is it safe? So could you give us some hopefully reassuring facts and figures about HRT, modern HRT these days?
Totally. And HRT just means hormone replacement therapy.
It's not magic.
And it's not a one size fits all.
Okay.
It's not, it comes as tablets, it comes as gels, it comes as patches. I often prescribe the estrogen and progesterone separately. There's another hormone, testosterone, which we might talk about another time, which is very important for us as well. So it isn't just give a prescription and get better. It often is sort of more tailor-made. A lot of these products now are natural, so they're so-called body identical, derived from the yam, a root vegetable. So, you know, they are as natural as you get.
Yeah.
There's some really good guidelines. So NICE, the National Institute of Health and Care Excellence, have produced guidelines about 18 months ago now, which were the first menopause guidance. We have them in all sorts of conditions and we have to work, you know, for them being a GPs and doctors in the UK, and they're very clear. Their take-home message is for the majority of women under the age of 60 who start HRT, the benefits outweigh the risks.
So what sort of statement. Benefits? Are we getting, obviously, benefits of symptoms, so being able to sleep, improved
mood?
So
because you're treating the lack of estrogen...
So literally, you're just putting the estrogen
back
into
it.
Your
body.
So
you're not giving supraphysiological levels, you're not giving people too much, you're just replacing. And so because you're treating the underlying cause... then people feel better.
So does it put you back to where you were in your 30s and 40s?
Yes, but a lot of people think taking HRT delays the menopause, but it doesn't. It just treats and gives you the hormone levels back. So when you stop HRT, you're going to be how you are or how you would have been if you'd never taken it.
Right.
So for some people, their symptoms can last for 10, 20 years. If you've only taken HRT for 5 years, you've still got symptoms
still
ahead of you.
Have the symptoms.
So it's not delaying your menopause, it's just unmasking. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, so this is quite an interesting point. So if we think of perimenopause as, say, being the 4 or 5 years or whatever leading up to the finishing totally of periods, and then that is the menopause, our hot flushes, for example, and mood and all the other things, anxiety, doesn't stop then.
No.
That could carry on.
Yes, definitely.
So how long could that carry on for?
Well, the average age is 4 years after the menopause, but for about 30%, so 3 out of 10 women can go on for more than 10 years. I have patients in their 70s, 80s who still experience hot flushes and symptoms.
Oh, my goodness. So does that mean that you could carry on taking estrogen for that long?
Yes, of course, yes.
You could
carry
on.
So the guidelines are very clear that there's no upper age limit for taking HRT.
So you could take it when you're 95?
I have a lady who's 90 who's been on it since she was 38, and she is amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
She's slightly deaf. That's her only problem. She's on no other medication.
Isn't that
incredible? She's 90.
90?
Yes. So she had a hysterectomy when she was 38. Amazing. But the guidelines talk about individualisation of care. So every year people need to be assessed. But there's very few risks with HRT. So people worry about the risk of clot or stroke. If you have the oestrogen through the skin as a gel or patch, there's no increased risk. So that's really important.
Right, so it's only if you're having the tablet form that you have
but
the risk.
But if you have it as a tablet, it's a 2x risk. Sounds really high, doesn't it? Double risk.
Yeah.
But actually, your risk of a clot is very small. If you've gone through pregnancy, you've gone through taking the contraceptive pill, which, as we know, is more risks, without a clot, then your risk is very small.
So I think that's a really interesting point. I'd just like to talk about risk as a site, like a little sort of segue here, because this affects so many other things in life. When people talk about twice the risk, we think that maybe, you know, you might think, oh, well, 1 in 2 of us are going to get something. Actually, if your risk is 1 in 1,000, that's a tiny risk. If you double the risk, sounds scary, double the risk, it's still only 2 in 1,000. So when we're talking in those Daily Mail type headlines that just shout at the headlines, you know, 3x risk, 4x risk, you've got to ask the question, well, what was it to start with? Because if it was 1 in 1,000
so
and it's
important.
Now 4 in 1,000, I'm still actually not that bothered.
It's very important, and it's very hard when you talk about risk because you don't really want to know about other people, you want to know about you, what's relevant to you. And I think that's really important. So the other risk that everyone worries about and why most people don't want to take HRT is this breast cancer risk.
Yes, so tell us, I want to know bottom
line,
what is the
truth?
There's
some really important messages. The first one is young women, if those women under the age of 51, which is the average age of the menopause, if they take any type of HRT, there's no increased risk of breast cancer. Because all you're doing is replacing what your body should otherwise be producing.
Right.
You know, we're designed to have our menopause at 51. So if you're in your 30s, 40s and you have an early menopause, you have to replace that estrogen. Because if you don't, there's a huge increased risk of heart disease, osteoporosis, dementia, diabetes.
Gosh.
And you
so
feel
under
rubbish,
51,
you have
increased risk of breast cancer whatsoever.
It's just replacement.
Fine.
So the other thing is, if people have had a hysterectomy, so they've had their womb taken out by an operation, they only need estrogen. They don't need a progesterone as well. We know that women who only have estrogen, there's no increased risk of breast cancer.
Whatever your age.
Whatever your age. So women in their 60s, 70s, there's no increased risk of breast cancer.
Right.
It's the type of progesterone, not the estrogen, which most doctors, even when I lecture, don't realise it's that way around. Because you always think estrogen, breast cancer.
Yes.
But in someone who has never had breast cancer, who is worried about HRT and have had a hysterectomy, there's no increased risk of breast cancer.
So what about the rest of us? So you're post-51, like me, never had any incidents of breast cancer, haven't had a hysterectomy. What's my risk for breast cancer?
So then you need to have a progestogen to protect the lining of your womb, which you take. But there are different types. if you look at the worst study, the biggest studies, the worst study, one showed a 3 times increased risk.
That so what was the risk
awful.
To start with? Yeah, let's have to go back to that.
So that's taking it for more than 15 years, which right. some people do. You mm-hmm. know, it's a long time, but some people do. But actually, if you look at other risks for breast cancer, like I've mentioned, not exercising, drinking a bit of wine, being overweight, that's increases your risk of breast cancer far more than 3 times risk with taking HRT right. for more than 15 years.
Right.
So actually, it's all, we talk about modifiable risk factors. You can't change your age, you can't change your family history,
yeah.
you can change your lifestyle, and you can change taking HRT. But often, a lot of women who take HRT have such better lifestyles.
Yes, absolutely.
That they're offsetting their any risk anyway.
Yeah.
But the type of progesterone can change as well. So there's a natural micronized progesterone, which is the body identical one I use a lot of. Mm-hmm. And some studies have shown that that's less associated, or even there isn't an associated risk with breast cancer.
Gosh.
But what's interesting, the big study when it came out in 2002, when there was this risk, everyone was scared, everyone stopped HRT.
Yes.
Those results were leaked to the press early. One of the investigators from America just came out recently to talk at the British Menopause Society conference, and he was explaining that actually the risk wasn't significant anyway.
So it's all been of that bad news
yes,
back
totally.
From dating 2002.
Yes, yeah, was incorrect. And so the investigators, the people, when they've looked at the studies again, there isn't this increased risk. But these studies show the benefits.
That
so the lower
so shocking,
risk of
isn't it?
Osteoporosis, lower risk of heart disease.
Yes.
You know, when people stopped taking HRT, there was a massive increased incidence of osteoporosis and heart disease in America. But the risk of the incident of breast cancer didn't
suddenly fall.
So that answers so many questions anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
quite.
So women are needlessly suffering
yes.
by not taking HRT because they're scared, but often they're unknowingly increasing their risk of breast cancer by not taking HRT and increasing their risk of other really important diseases. Like, you know, heart disease and osteoporosis are so common, far
yes.
more common than breast cancer.
Well, I was talking to somebody who came off HRT. She's now, I think, 60, and she'd been taking it in her early 50s or late 40s, maybe, when that study was published. And immediately just kind of stopped overnight, like so many women in Britain
yes,
just went cold
yeah.
turkey, and America as well. And as a result, now has to have a hip replacement because her bone density is just so...
What a shame.
She's lost
yeah,
so much.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, really cross, angry, furious.
Well, totally.
And has spent a decade of her working life struggling against these terrible symptoms, not sleeping, not stressed, you know, marriage bust up. You know, so many things happened.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I just feel really enraged by it when you hear stories like that. I'm sure you do too
as a
GP.
Absolutely. I feel, because I do a lot of work for West Midlands Police, and whenever I lecture to women, I am just saddened by their stories of their lives, how their menopause has affected their life, affected their relationship, often affected their work. We know that a lot of people give up work because of the menopause. How sad's that when you've reached a pinnacle? And I mean, I only had symptoms for about 3 or 4 months. I didn't recognise them being menopausal, you know, typical doctor.
Really? Even
thought
you.
My night sweats were due to a lymphoma.
You shouldn't laugh.
No, but it shows really how hard it is, because
I just
thought I'm doing all this menopause work, I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know, hadn't even thought I was perimenopausal.
Hello.
It's crazy. But actually, I can see how you would easily come into a shell. I would be at home in my pyjamas. I wouldn't be here in London because I would be too tired if I wasn't taking HRT.
Tell me about this work with the police. That sounds extraordinary. So are you talking to female police?
We're doing both. So I do some work with West Midlands Police, which is the second biggest police force in the UK. So, and they have a menopause unit.
How extraordinary.
Which is
Isn't that brilliant?
It's
is that
so
common
brilliant.
Amongst
no,
public
not
health?
At all. No, any company, unfortunately. So they engage, so they meet regularly to talk about their experiences. But also we've been doing a lot of training with line managers as well. So it's all to break this taboo, you know. People need to know about it. People think about menopausal women as some crazy hormonal woman. Don't go near her, you know, she's a bit emotionally labile. But actually for that woman, when you're perimenopausal or menopausal, it's really hard. It's a real struggle. People don't want to necessarily be labelled as menopausal, but isn't it nice if it was out in the environment so you could talk about it? And so a lot of people have found, actually, just the work I've done, that they've started to take HRT. They feel better, they look better, they work better, they're more productive, they're keeping their jobs. One of the police officers recently was saying she'd worked 22 years in the police, and it's the first time she'd been off sick. And she was taken off the beat. She was at home having a terrible time. And now she came to see me last week and she said, I've got a new job in the police. It's very stressful, but I can cope with it. Wow. And I'm really enjoying it. And, you know, the police used to retire at 50, but now with pension changes, they're retiring later. So yeah, it's very important this workforce is kept. But I do work with West Midlands Fire Brigade as well. And the men really suffer too. You know, if you're married to a menopausal woman, you know, it's not much fun.
No, it's not fun, is it?
But they don't know. Mm. They just think their partners may be changing or stressed. And they don't understand it's the menopause. So there's so many symptoms that are very soft. But until you put them all together, you realise how actually it's my hormones and there is something that can be done about it.
Talking about the men, is there such a thing as the male menopause?
It's very interesting. Lack of testosterone can occur when we get older when men get older, and it is associated with some conditions like diabetes, even heart disease as well.
And low mood?
Okay. Yes, so and obviously that libido
grumpy
too.
Old guy in the armchair could be.
Yeah, there's some really good screening tools moment. And it is worth often thinking. And it's a lot easier to diagnose. So for men, you just do two testosterone levels in the morning, blood test, very easy. Mm. I should say for women, if you're over 45, you do not need a blood test. So because our hormone levels are changing all the time, you can imagine if I did your hormone level one day, it would be different to how it would be a week after. So I see lots of women who are told by their GPs, oh, you're not menopausal.
Because they've
had
not a blood
perimenopausal
test.
Because of a blood test.
There's no point in having it.
It's a complete waste of time. And
oh,
actually, some research has just shown you could save the NHS £9.2 million by not doing blood tests in women over the age of 45.
And have a better result.
Yes, of course. And what's great for me in GP is someone's got changing periods and they're having menopausal symptoms, then they're either perimenopausal or menopausal, depending on their periods. But I can start talking to them about HRT, about their lifestyle, rather than in the old days, as it were, I used to say, well, come back and see me. But it's really hard to get an appointment. You've got to miss work to have an appointment to come back. So it's great. You know, it's so much easier. Don't have to do a blood test. And it makes sense.
So you shouldn't worry if you go to your GP and they don't do a blood test.
You should worry if they do.
Oh, yeah. My God. It's really completely fascinating. And you use a lot of patches and gels from estrogen, which comes from wild yams. So that's the sort of tuber plant, a bit like a sweet potato. What about the so-called bioidentical hormones that we hear about?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. So bioidenticals just mean it's like body identical. It's this phrase. So there are a lot of bioidentical clinics, and these are privately run clinics that produce hormones, HRT. They call it bioidentical, but it's not regulated. It's compounded, so it's made for you,
but it's not regulated.
So they use a lot of the products that I prescribe. So I prescribe... You could say I prescribe bioidentical HRT. It's body identical, so the estrogen, progesterone and testosterone are all natural. Mm-hmm. But they often use that, but then they often add other hormones that we don't know much about, and they could potentially be dangerous, like DHEA, which is a precursor of testosterone. I see a lot of people that have given thyroxine hormone, even though they've got normal blood tests. There's also some other hormones, some steroid type hormones, but they also give it in unregulated amounts. So everything I prescribe, I know what it says on the tin. You can imagine anything you prescribe has to go through a really rigorous process to actually get to be able to be prescribed. This is made in a back pharmacy by somebody.
Is it legal?
So it is legal, but it's not regulated. So the International Menopause Society, the British Menopause Society, NICE, the guidelines I spoke about, they all do not approve it at all.
They haven't regulated it.
And what's scary, really, is that women are having unnecessary hormones, or they're having very high levels. Mm. They use a lot of progesterone cream. We need progesterone to protect the lining of our womb. But if you have the cream, we don't know that it works in a high enough dose to protect the lining of our womb.
Oh, my goodness.
So I see a lot of women who come up from these clinics because they were having problems.
Yeah.
I was recently speaking to a doctor in London who had been given, a patient had been given oral, so lozenge form of testosterone, and had had jaundice and liver problems. And they didn't know in the hospital what it was related to, and I'm sure it was related to the testosterone. We don't give it orally.
Right. So, it's a gel, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
exactly right. Mm. So you just have to be really careful. They're very expensive, these clinics, very expensive. And so I always worry, about the money.
I have heard about that.
But they make it look very nice. But But yes, you have to be very careful what you're taking.
And also, to your point earlier, I think a lot of these clinics seem to be operating on blood tests.
Yes, they do. With saliva tests. They do a lot of saliva tests.
And is that more reliable than blood?
No, not really. No, okay, because they look and they'll tailor make it for you. So it sounds very nice. But what your hormones were doing last week and what they're doing next week are going to be quite different.
So you could be taking something completely inappropriate.
So then you're almost battling with your own body. So if you're taking the same amount, it helps just regulate your body so you're at a single level.
Yes.
The level can be changed depending on your age, your symptoms, other things. So that's why it's not this one size fits all.
So you can adapt it. So your patients will come back and say, actually, I need a bit more of this.
Right. Yeah. But it's the same substance. And so you just worry what's in these compounded preparations.
Yes.
You know, so.
And what kind of health scans should we be having going through menopause? Should we be having DEXA scans for bone density?
Yeah, it depends really. I think HRT is just one part of the jigsaw puzzle with the menopause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important to look at our whole life. And I think the perimenopause should be an opportunity to think, great, I've got this new phase in my life, potentially 30 years menopausal.
Gosh.
Even if you, I know it sounds depressing, but it should be positive.
Let's sort it out. We've got 30
because
years of this, girls.
Even if you don't have symptoms, your body still has low estrogen levels. So if you think in the 1900s, average age of death was 59, average age of menopause, 57. So we weren't really designed to not have hormones in our body, you could argue.
Yes.
So so looking at our overall health, looking at our exercise, looking at our diet, looking at our well-being is really important. But often I see lots of people that do all that, but they're still struggling.
Yes.
HRT is that final missing piece that often makes their bodies function better and also invest for their future health, because you have a 50% less risk of a heart attack if you take HRT. That's huge, isn't it? 50%.
Yeah. So it's all about a healthier, happier future, hopefully.
Totally. Yes.
Louise, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you. And we have touched on testosterone.
Yes.
It is a fascinating subject. So will you come back and
we can perhaps talk
in some more detail about that?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Liz.
And coming up next time, do join me when I'm joined by yet another fascinatingly brilliant woman who is at the top of her field. That is, when she's not outstanding in her fields, literally, as I'm welcoming none other than Helen Browning into the studios here, chairman of the Soil Association and organic farmer extraordinaire. I am very much looking forward to some nitty-gritty farmyard talk and more. Meantime, do hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode, and I'd love to read your comments and reviews if you'd like to leave me one. You can also head over to lizellewellbeing.com for all the podcast notes and the resources from today's show. I know I, for one, need to be heading over there right now to print these off. And you can also sign up to our weekly wellbeing newsletter, which will bring more news and views right into your inbox on a regular basis. So until next time, go well. Bye-bye.